Well, I wonder if Carter and Candace were there sweating whether it was going to say, children are going to sing the fourth stanza. I bet they were glad for that. I want to read a couple notes, a couple cards today, and some of the ministry that we've been involved with recently. It's a little thank you note from the Gideons. We raised funds a couple of weeks ago in honor and memory of our former pastor and his home going to be with the Lord, and we were able to raise $360, which bought 72 Gideon Bibles, Bibles that go around in the hotels, and he handed out in schools and to nurses when they graduate, and prisons and different things. And so this was just a thank you from the Gideons, from Eric Keller, the local Gideon representative. And when I'm going in the month of June, Brother Mike Sharman is going to be sharing and preaching, and he's going to share a little bit about his involvement with Gideon's also, maybe a little bit of his testimony. Also, we received this nice card this week with a beautiful little baby on there of Life First, where we took our fundraiser a little over a month ago when Brother Steve Freeman was here and shared on Saturday evening about his life and how he was born as a twin, and his brother did not survive, and he was in the incubator for a long time, and then the Lord called him into ministry. And so this is from the pregnancy center that we help support. Dear Pastor Chaz, and to all the Calverton friends who support Life First, what a faithful church you are. We are beyond thankful for your recent and very generous gift to our ministry. Your fundraiser was such a thoughtful way to support our work, and especially how, with the third medical center up and serving, we could not do what we do without the local church support, and we give thanks to God for you with grateful hearts. And that's from Life First Team. And so they have a center in Woodbridge, a center in Manassas, and one more center. Anybody remember that? It's somewhere in Northern Virginia. So we're thankful that we can support those ministries, and we're part of what God's doing from there. So take your Bibles today, the 14th message in the book of 1 John. The book of 1 John, 1 John chapter 3. We'll be beginning at verse number 18 and working to the end of the chapter. As I say often, the chapter divisions, the verse divisions aren't in the original scripture. These are letters. They're written in letter form, most of the New Testament. Written in letter form. And so these verses and chapters have been added for our convenience, for our help. Today I've entitled the message, A Further Look at Christian Love, Living Out the Meaning of Christian Love. It's not unusual for a book to have a title and then have a subtitle. Sometimes a movie will have the title and a subtitle. Sometimes a song, not very often, but every once in a while, a song will have a title and a subtitle. So I said, hey, why don't I do that? I'll do that with my sermon today, so I have a title. A Further Look at Christian Love, subtitle, Living Out the True Meaning of Christian Love. And that's what John is often doing, talking about the subject of love. John 3:16, we have, for God so loved the world. That's one of the most famous verses in all the world. Certainly one of the most memorized verses in the world. Probably one of the most written verses in the world, John 3:16. And the theme of love, John continues on now, and this is what we call a letter of John or epistle of John. And John writes the gospel according to John, and now God uses him also in the first century to the churches to write this book, this letter of 1 John. And so the subtitle is Living Out the Meaning of Christian Love. That's what God calls us to do. Live out this Christian love. God loves us. We receive that love. That love abides in us. That love changes us. That love transforms us. And that love affects the way that we live and interact with other people. So stand if you're able, as we give honor, reverence to God's word. We do that because we find in the book of Ezra, when the Israelites came back into the promised land, after being away in Babylon, they stood for 2 hours as the Word of God was read. We just stand for a couple moments and reverence this tremendous book that God has blessed us with. 1 John chapter 3, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And whereby we know that we are of the truth, and we shall assure our hearts before him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do these things which are pleasing in his sight. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. That's similar to what Jesus said, summarizing, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 24, and he that keepeth his commandment dwelleth in him, and he in him, and whereby we know that we abideth in us, by the Spirit which he hath given us. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, as he's mentioned earlier in this book, and we went over that great teaching that at the moment we receive Christ, the moment we acknowledge him as our Savior and Lord, the Spirit of God comes to dwell in us, to never ever leave us nor forsake us, and he is that guarantee, that keeper of us until he takes us to heaven. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you that you first loved us. We thank you that you come to live in us and your love dwells in us and your love can shine out of us. And so, Lord, help us to live in such a way and rely on the Spirit of God living on us that we would shine, that we would be lights for you, that we would be instruments of love to people all around us who need to be loved. They need genuine love. Father, you are the author of genuine love. And so, Lord, we want that love to flow out of us and to be pleasing in your sight, what you see of us and others, to be attracted to you because of the love that would flow from us. We want your love to flow in us and out of us in an overwhelming way, in a pouring out way. That, Father, we would stand before you one day and you might say to us, well done, good and faithful service. So, Father, we seek you in your word. Know how to live for you that we might be pleasing to you. We ask that you would just work in our hearts today as we examine your word together. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. And you see it. Genuine love has been displayed by others for us to see. We talked about just some testimonies earlier. How mothers many times are genuine love. And fathers do the same thing. But so often we see a love from a mother that just affects us in such a way. And other people in our lives pour out genuine love. We could give many testimonies, examples today of somebody that came along in our life and loved us in a genuine way. Maybe loved us at a point in our life we were at a low point. And their love just kind of helped us survive and get through. And we often see that by fellow believers doing that to other believers. And we also see that as believers do that for those who have not yet believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, or maybe are beginning to think about that. And that love that someone has through Christ continues to draw someone else. First of all, we really see in the New Testament how the apostles, the other disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what's the difference between those that are called apostles and those that are called disciples? The apostles were those 12 that God, Jesus had called. Later on, it was 11 for a while. Then they chose a 12th one to replace Judas, Matthias. And they were ones who had been with Jesus, had special times of teaching with Jesus, and they also saw Jesus Christ resurrected face to face. Now, Paul calls himself an apostle at a due time because Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus, and he was a special called apostle to the Gentiles. but they showed genuine love. As they began to go from community to community, from city to city, from country to country, they showed the love of Christ by teaching the good news of the gospel. And it was wonderful to see, but there's been other ways that love has been shown. Missionaries, as they have been sent for the last 2,000 years, and still being sent today. Sometimes missionaries go in communities and they start out with a medical mission. Sometimes they go in with an agricultural mission. Sometimes they go in with a dental clinic, and they show the love of Christ to win the opportunity to share with them the good news from the written word of God, how Jesus Christ can change them. John is often called the beloved disciple. When John writes his book of the gospel according to John, he never mentions himself by name, but he said that other disciple or that beloved disciple. Even in the upper room when they had the Passover meal, what we now call the Lord's table, Jesus leaned over onto the breast of John and they spoke together there in that intimate moment. And that beloved disciple, we need to remember that he is not the only one that's beloved. Throughout the scripture, we as Christians are also called beloved of God. And we have said it many times that the world will know, others will know that we are Christians by our love. Our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, illustrated that in one of his teachings, a very famous teaching called the Good Samaritan. The Samaritan showed the love, the compassion of God when the religious leaders passed by the man on the road that had been beaten, who had been left for dead. And the Samaritan, who were often in conflict with the Jews, he went over and bandaged him up. He took care of him. He made a room ready through the innkeeper and said, if that only thing that I get back, I will care for it. The great example of love that Jesus taught. And as we close chapter 3 of 1 John, we're taught about that love should be coming from saved individuals. We that are saved, we that have the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to be ones who are known as the most loving people around. That's our goal. Sometimes we as Christians to be known as the most unkind people. If we're not careful. Sometimes we as Christians can be known as the most impatient people around. Sometimes Christians are known as the most rude people around, and that ought not be so. I've used the illustration many times, and it's a sad illustration, but many folks who work in the restaurant industry hate working Sundays. They say the folks that come in that are dressed, obviously have been to church, are the most demanding, are the worst tippers, and are the rudest guests they have in restaurants. That should never be said of us as Christians. We should be the most loving, most kind, most generous people to those in the service industry. And John is not talking about that specifically, but he's talking about living out Christian love. We are talking about loving individuals. In fact, as John is teaching here, he kind of sounds like a parent. Because we're getting to the point where John, and we're noticing carefully and watching and listening, some of the things that John is saying are quite repetitive. Like a parent, like a school teacher. I had somebody tell me one time, there are three ways to learn.
Three best ways to learn. You know what those are? Repetition, repetition, repetition.
And so maybe John is using that approach. He's saying some of the things over and over again, making similar statements. As we encounter this phrase here, little children, he's used that a number of times. It's probably a reminder to the youngest ones in the faith. And he's saying, young ones in your faith, as you're growing, don't forget how important love is. There's extra exaltation to the ones who are just picking up on those biblical principles. verses 23 and 24, are telling us that loving is obeying the commandments of Christ. We are dwelling and abiding in Christ when we are loving. And Christ is also abiding in us. So verses number 18 through 23, we're reminded of some principles that we ought to be doing, how we go about showing Christ's love in some great manners. So let's look at some of the principles laid out in verses 18 to 22. Number one that we have here reminded on this portion is living out love. Living out Christian love is done in deeds. Living out Christian love is done by actions.
It's done by deeds. We could all just sit back somewhere and say, boy, I really love those people out there. We could sit back and we could talk about it. We could sit back and we could sing about it.
We could sit back and we could think about it. We could sit down and write it down on paper, oh, man, I just love, I love, I love, I love. But never go out and put that into practice. It really wouldn't do nearly as much good as it's intended to do. And so we remind verse 18, loving and living out love is done in deeds. Look at verse 18 again. He says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. It probably could be better translated if he would have put the word only in there. And we kind of understand that as what it means. Let us not love in word only, but in tongue, neither just in tongue, but in deed and in truth. There are two things by which we are to love here two things that we are not to only love by, not by just words and not just by tongues. Are these the same? Now, they could be. They could be, or they could not be. It could be written words or spoken words. So when he says not to love just only in tongue or in words, it could be saying written words and spoken words. And so we could say, well, I
told her that I loved her. And I wrote her a note that I loved her. And she's saying, well, you never really showed me that you loved me.
And so the people in the world could say, well, we as Christians say, well, the Bible says God loves you. And there's a lot of songs written about Christian love.
And the lost people are saying, well, I want someone to show me God's love. And that's what we are to be doing.
We are to be loving in words. We are to be loving and with our tongue. We are to be loving with what we say. We are to be loving with what we write. Which brings us to Facebook sometimes, doesn't it? We need to be careful with the words we write on Facebook. Think about how it can be received. Some things are better left unsaid, aren't they? And sometimes I can go, well, that really sets me up. I need to respond. I need to say something about what would be better doing is praying for the person, or writing something encouraging, or moving on to the next post. And it really can get us in trouble if we're not careful. Love in word and love in tongue, but love also in deeds. We've heard the term so many times. Talk is what? Cheap. Talk is cheap. Why? Because anyone can buy it, right? Anyone pretty much can say something. But actions are so much more expensive because they cost us so much more. This is correct. And we can see where the Bible teaches us. The deeds of God and the deeds of Jesus Christ are the greatest example of love. And that's what we're to do. We're to be imitators of God. We're to be imitators of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to be imitators of these apostles who've given us these New Testament letters. And that's what John's saying. I want you to love like you see Jesus loving me. And then I tried to carry that out and repeat it. And now that you I want you to repeat that. Don't just love people in words and in tongue, but love people with genuine good deeds. By our good works. We are called to this. We are instructed this way. And then second of all, living out love is to be done with truth. We find that in verse number 18 also. We've already read it. Not only just love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So many times people stop with love. And they say, oh, I want to love people.
And so that means I accept everything. I believe everything.
If someone does believe something, why well, I just jump right in and agree with them. Whether it's agreeable with the Bible or not. And the Bible does not teach that. The Bible says we're to love people in word, in deed, and in truth. Good deeds, to be fully Christian, must also include truth. We don't throw out truth because we love. We have truth walking step together. Truth tells people God loves you. But truth also says God says sin must be dealt with. Truth says God loves people. But love says God loves people. But truth says but he doesn't love all of our actions. Truth and love go hand in hand. And so we're reminded of that. That's why it is so much that I encourage the ministries that our church so often partners with. We just talked about the Gideon's Bibles. They're trying to give out God's Word.
We're talking about
the life centers that we support that help women and Christ. I'll get that in a minute. Pregnancies with Christ. Or uncertainties. We help those ministries. They don't just give out diapers. They don't just give out baby meds. They don't just give out advice. But in the midst of trying to give women an alternative and show them their baby as a baby within them, they also say, I want you to know that Jesus Christ loves you. And Jesus Christ died for you. And that not only can you have a wonderful baby, but you can have a wonderful life with Jesus Christ, your Savior, and you can be on your way to heaven if you trust Jesus. They give out love, but they also give out truth. We do the same thing when we work with Samaritan's Purse. They give out those little boxes. Little kid gets a mirror, little girl gets a baby doll, little boy gets a truck, little kid gets a coloring book.
But what do they also do? They said, we want you to come, and when you receive those boxes, we want you to hear the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we as Christians are called to do. We're not called just to do good deeds
so they think Christians are cool people. We're not called just to do good deeds so they think
Christians are nice people, but we also do good deeds that we open the door that we share about the Lord Jesus Christ and how they can be saved.
John has reminded us that of the ultimate goal. If we miss the goal of doing the good works but don't share the truth of how they can be saved, we come up short. I told you, I'd take grandson golfing.
If I were to be fortunate enough every once in a while to hit the first ball, it's called the tee shot, out of the tee box, and I would hit a long way, and it goes, and it gets almost to the green, or maybe I'm fortunate enough it lands on the green,
and I go up there and say, wow, that was a great shot right off the tee box, and I don't pick up my putter and knock it over into the hole, I've only done part of what the game is designed to do. And so it is for us as Christians. If we love people and do good deeds, we've done part of what Christ, what God has called to, but if we don't then go on and share the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ, we miss the ultimate goal.
So we're told here
that love, really sharing love, starts with words and deeds, but it's followed with truth. And then thirdly, we see in our passage here, verses 19 to 21, living out Christian love is confirmed in our hearts. It's confirmed in the heart. And these verses here, 19 to 21, can be a little tough to look at and really understand what they mean, but I'll try my best to explain them. And whereby we know that we are of the truth and we assure our hearts before Him, before God, for our hearts condemn us. God is greater than our hearts and knoweth all things. Now, wait a minute. I thought the Bible said that if we trust the Lord Jesus Christ, we're moved from condemnation to life. And this verse comes along and says, our hearts might condemn us. So what's going on? It's talking to Christians. What does it mean our hearts condemn us? Verse 21. Beloved, we our hearts condemn us not. We have confidence toward God, and whosoever and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. We see here the work of conviction and complementation working side by side. The work of conviction and the work of complementation going on in the hearts of a believer. There are times in our lives that our hearts are going to say, through the Holy Spirit speaking in our hearts, you did what you were supposed to do. And in the course of the Christian life, there's also times our hearts, our conscience, the Spirit of God speaking to us, are going to say, you came up short. You missed the mark. You sinned. I gave you an opportunity to share with them. I gave you an opportunity not only to speak love, but to do love. You did love, but you didn't speak the love. And he says here, sometimes our hearts may go, you failed. That's a point where I believe John's trying to bring through.
Sometimes our hearts might condemn us before God. But, he goes on and says, but,
be assured you still hold him. In other words, if we are trying to love, and we aren't loving, there's an opportunity before us to love and share the love of Christ, and we don't do it, we don't lose our salvation. Our soul is not condemned. Our action or lack of action is condemned. I believe that's what John is trying to bring out. The heart, by the work of the Holy Spirit, condemns us or corrects us when we are disobedient. That is one of the evidences that we're really saved. When the heart God is speaking to it, pointing out wrongdoing and right doing. In this context, when we don't act in a manner of love, what happens to us? We should be thinking, Lord, I know that I should have done this, and I'm sorry. Just like sometimes, Lord, I know I should have done that, and I'm sorry. I heard a trivia question, a very sad commentary of a trivia question the other day. And it said, what does the average person do 30,000 times in their lifetime while they're driving? What does the average person do 30,000?
I don't know who does these studies. I don't know who's sitting in the passenger seat marking these down. But it said that the average person uses 30,000 profanities in their lifetime. That was the answer. No wonder there's so much road
rage, right? But he's saying here, if our hearts say you should have done that, and we agree with God, what do? We find early in this book, whole context, John says, but if we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. And so he's saying here, sometimes the heart says, you've wrong, you've done wrong, you've done wrong. And we go back to God and say, cleanse us. There are times, on the other hand, there's times when our hearts are full of joy because we have showed or spoken the love of God to someone. Being obedient to God has the opportunity to lift us up. The receiver and the giver get excited about it. When we give love, that makes us feel good. Now, I'm not saying our whole life is based on the experience of how we feel. Our life is, first of all, built on the truth of the Word of God. And then if we put it into practice, there's happiness and joy for doing that. But if we don't do something, God's Word doesn't change the foundation and base. And so when we give love, it brings joy to our hearts to give love, doesn't it? But it also brings joy to the receiver to get love. Carter's playing baseball. My grandson's playing baseball. And sometimes there's a ball hit to the infield. And the infielder gets down and he gets the ball. And there's joy because he's gotten it. And then he turns toward first base and he throws it. And if the first baseman receives it, he gets joy. So the giver confesses it, he receives it, and he has happiness. He has joy. It is the same way in the Christian life.
When we give God's love, there's joy to our heart. Sometimes it's not received well. And sometimes we can mistakenly say, oh, man, I wish they would have received it.
God would be so happy if they would have received it. But we can still have joy because we were obedient to God. Our joy should not be dependent on how people respond. Our joy should be dependent on our obedience to God. But when they do receive it, it brings joy to both. The world will be a much better place to live if we as Christians concentrated on giving the love to God that we have received. Whether someone else is willing to give it to us or not. Then fourthly, we find that Christian love, living out Christian love is a path to receiving. Living out Christian love is a path to seeing our prayers heard and answered. John throws in something very interesting here. Living out Christian love is a path to seeing our prayers heard and answered. Very interesting principle found here. Verse number 22 is following up on us showing love in word and deed. Recognize that sometimes we do and we don't, but when we do. Verse 22 says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do the things which are pleasing to him. Did you know that sometimes, did you hear me? Sometimes, make sure you take that word with you when I say this, that sometimes our prayers being heard and being answered is based on our obedience to God's commands. It's a hard principle sometimes for people to hear. People, and Christian people, often say they believe in the power of prayer. Have you heard that statement? Do you believe that statement? I believe in the power of prayer. I don't believe it's the best statement we can use.
I believe we'd be more accurate to say, I believe in the God that I'm praying to is powerful. Because not all prayer is biblical prayer. Not all prayer is prayed from the right motive.
Not all prayer is paid to even God. Sometimes people say, I'll be praying for you.
Now I see people write posts and write things. I'm sending well wishes. I'm sending energy your way. Do you see those? I'm sending good wishes. I'm sending goodwill. Prayer is, biblical prayer is often misunderstood.
And sometimes we get the thought that it's the power is in the prayer and not the power into the one to whom we're praying. Prayer is the avenue. The power is in the one we're praying to. And if we're praying a biblical prayer. And if we're praying within the will of God. And if we're praying out of obedient heart. What we need to keep in mind is that we believe in the power of the Almighty God and that we're praying to the one who has the power to meet the needs. The power is not in the prayer. The power is in the one who hears the prayer. God is great. God is omnipotent. God is all powerful. That's who we're praying to. Think about it. People in every religion pray. They take time to pray. Some have special times there to pray every day, and they pray out of a ritual. Sometimes we as Christians, if we're not careful, we pray out of ritual. Oh, getting ready, and I'm praying. Oh, getting ready a good bit, and I'm praying. And it becomes generic. It doesn't come from the heart. Out of repetition. And John is saying here, don't forget that whatsoever whatsoever we ask, we receive him because we keep his commandments. Even non-religious people say they pray. Did you know there's things that can block your prayer life? Do you know that unrepentant sin can block our prayer life? The Bible and the scriptures
warns us as men, as husbands, if we're not treating our wives well, our prayers will not be heard or answered. It's pretty serious when we think about prayer.
Jesus included in the model prayer, he said, and forgive us our trespasses. An important part of prayer that sometimes we leave out is confession of sin. Lord, is there any way today I've offended you? David prayed, Lord, search me and try me. See if there be any way to me. We're so much busy going into our prayer life.
Like Mickey and Becky Moore wrote in their song years ago. They wrote a song years ago. They were from down in Louisa County, and they were a contemporary Christian artist,
and they wrote a song like this. Give me this, and give me that, God. Give me mentality. And we just go over prayers. Lord, give me. Lord, I want you to give me this. Lord, give me this. Lord, give my kids this. Lord, give them a good day. And we don't spend any time praying and saying, Lord, teach me your ways. Show me if there's any wrong in me. Does your prayer life only contain give-me's? Does my prayer life only just contain give-me's? Is my prayer life me-centered all the time?
Is my prayer life, is your prayer life only focused on physical needs all the time? When's the last time you prayed for someone's spiritual condition? We need to think of prayer.
Nothing wrong. I'm not saying we don't pray for visibility. I'm not saying we don't pray for the multitude of people who know we got health needs. But do we pray for spiritual needs? When's the last time you prayed for someone that's lost?
When's the last time you prayed for some Christian that was backslidden? What was the last time you prayed for someone that
you heard, that I heard? When was the last time you prayed for someone that you haven't talked with in 10 years? And you're praying that God would soften your heart. God would soften her heart. Makes prayer sound a little different, doesn't it? Remember, when I preach this, I've already been convicted about it while I was studying, and I'm getting convicted again a second time. I'm preaching to me, too. I had the same problem. I had the same look at prayer. Sometimes my prayers only give me, Lord. What can you do for me, God? Hey, magic genie in the sky, would you flip the lid and give me my wishes? Don't look at me so religious like you know. We don't do it. Why? Because we have this flesh that we're battling all the time. Our prayers can be dependent upon. Oh, really? Yep. Let's look at somewhere else where the Bible teaches this and we'll close. Look at back a couple of books after the book of Hebrews to the book of James. Just back a few pages toward the beginning of your Bible. The book of James. James chapter 5. James spends a lot of time in his book talking about the practicality of living out the Christian life also. James chapter 5. James addresses this concern about prayer. John says, pray, and God will hear your prayers and answer them because you keep the commandments. Look what James says. Remember, James and John were fellow disciples, fellow apostles. They were the 12 disciples of Jesus, and there was the inner three disciples, Peter, James, and John. They were the ones that got to go up on the mountain of transfiguration. It was kind of like an inner circle of the 12. And James writes in James chapter 5, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Look at the next sentence. The effectual. In other words, a prayer that will be effective. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. He was a righteous man. And God heard his prayers. And our prayers sometimes are answered because we're being obedient to God. Sometimes our prayers are answered by God because he's a gracious God and he answers them in spite of the way we've been living. But don't take that chance. The prayers of the righteous are effective. Sometimes prayer can be not heard. With one more verse, looking back in Proverbs. Proverbs 15:29. Don't mistake and think I can just pray and everything will be all right. Look at this biblical principle very seriously about prayer and its connection with obedience. Proverbs 15:29. The man of wisdom, Solomon, gives us so many nuggets of truth to live by. Proverbs 15:29 says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayers of the righteous. Folks mistakenly think, I can live any way I want. I can do whatever I want. We're in the age of grace. I've heard preachers say, we're in the grace area. I'm in the forgiven area. I asked God to forgive my sins back when I was 4 years old, and everything's okay. I don't need anything else. I'm going to heaven. I got my fire insurance paid up. I'm all right, and I can just go out and live anything I want. And then my mom gets sick, and then I say, God, you love me, and because you love me, you're supposed to make her well. And God doesn't make her well. And he says, see, God, I'm not going to serve you anymore. God says, he hears the prayers of the righteous. Very serious. Now, do all prayers get answered? Yes, all prayers get answered. One of three ways. God may say yes. God may say no. God may say, I have something else in mind. We could say, are all prayers heard? Yes. All prayers are heard because God is all-knowing. But all prayers, is God obligated to hear it and answer it? No. Certainly not. Because he might have another will in place. He might be hearing from someone who is not righteous. He might be hearing from someone who is not even saved. Doesn't have a relationship. All they want is God to get them out of their emergency situation. Sometimes God, in his grace, does step in and help them because he's drawing that person to himself. There's righteous living, meaning that we will always get exactly what we pray for. Have I taught you today, if you just live righteous, you'll always get what you want? No, that's not what I'm saying. The prayer, the fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. That's what James said. Remember that. James did not say the fervent prayer of the righteous always gets what he wants. It said it avails much. Puts us in a better place. A better opportunity for God to hear and answer that. Thank you for your patience as I skipped over in overtime a little bit today. But I wanted to finish that up because they all connected. May God help us to show his love and to live out his love. And as we do, as we obey to God's commands, he promises it'll affect our prayer life in a positive way. God's spoken in your heart today.
Maybe there's a decision you need to make today for Christ.
Maybe you need to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation. You begin to understand what it means to be saved. You give your heart to Jesus. But you've never really done that. Or you say, I've done that, but I've never made it public. God wants us to make that public. Maybe you've never been through the waters of baptism. And you need to do that. You need to follow your salvation with baptism. Very important step. It pictures that we're identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ in water baptism. Maybe there's some other need you have today. Maybe you've been coming to here for a while and you never joined your church as a member. And you're saved and you've been baptized and you say, I need to become a member of your church. I want to identify with Calverton Baptist Church. Whatever God's moved in your heart, maybe something in the message. Maybe something else God's been working in your heart. Not even spoken about today, but the Spirit's been speaking to you. Do business with God today as we have an altar call today.